Okay, so last time we closed with triads, which actually were the co-triads. So we basically had these as objects. And actually they are kind of one forms with an internal index, which we cover use a metric. And then you can pull up and pull down the indices. And actually, if you do that, pull up an index, for instance, can pull it back, pull down the other one. We get really vectors. We get in this case, n vectors, if n is a dimension of your spacetime. And these are really the frame or the tetrads or triads. And these things are the co-triads. And we said this should be an orthonormal frame. So if you check this condition, then you see that basically, if you put this together with the other one, so which is just to take the norm. To calculate the norm of this vector, we know that we should get delta ij. And so we see that co-triads and triads are in fact inverse to each other. So these are basically seen as matrices. It's a matrix and an inverse matrix. Okay. And now we can go on and express actually objects also in internal indices. And so we will have objects which might have these spacetime indices, mu nu, and internal indices, ij. And internal indices. And with respect to these indices, we indeed want that this is a space-time tensor. Which means something explicit in this case that it transforms, or I mean, what is usually meant is that it transforms really according to the tensor rules. And of course, here we want to have also the usual kind of transformation rule. With respect to internal rotations. Which is as we ex had yesterday, that if I apply an internal rotation matrix, so rotation matrix in ij, and this can be x dependent, spacetime dependent, that this should actually not change the metric. So here we know actually that we need a covariant derivative with respect to these spacetime indices to ensure that the derivative or the covariant derivative of a tensor is also a tensor. And in fact, if you can make this easy exercise and take like just the standard covariant derivative, which I will call nabla. So that's with respect to, I mean, if it's really a fixed connection, then it's with respect to the Levi-Civita connection. Levi-Civita connection. So we will also need so if you take something, an object with an internal index, transform it around, and take just the covariant derivative, this covariant derivative will also hit the rotation matrix, which might be dependent on the point. And so this will prevent a derivative of something with an internal index to transform as a tensor with respect to the internal indices. So that means that we also need a further covariant derivative with respect to internal indices. And that is called a spin connection. And basically, this spin connection, the transformation rule for the spin connection, will ensure that that if you use this connection, that it actually that's a spin connection and that's a derivative. So that this objects like d mu phi j will also transform as tensors with respect to the internal index. And this is ensured then by the transformation rule for these spin connections, which we actually will discuss, I think, encounter in some later lecture, but it's also easy to derive. And as for the gamma, if you remember, gamma has an inhomogeneous term, which cancels the inhomogeneous term, which comes from basically the derivative of the transformation matrix. And so this will be also applying to this will also apply to omega. So here, let's define what we mean with this covariant derivative. Now, with covariant derivative, I mean basically both with respect to the space-time indices and the internal indices. And so here, I basically write formulas that are very similar to what you know for the Levi-Civita connection. So if you have a vector, you have to add to the usual, if you have something with just one internal index, you have to add to the usual derivative the spin connection part. If you have this index down, then as we also see, a kind of general rule, we need a minus sign here and a slightly different contraction. And this will basically ensure at some point consistency for the derivative of the Kronecker symbol if omega satisfies a certain condition. And let's say you have objects with an internal index and space-time index, then you basically just apply these rules for both subsets, for both indices. So for the internal, for the space-time index, you take the Levi-Civita connection or your space-time connection. And for the other thing, VG. Also one indices. You take the spin connection. So, and that generalizes to all kinds of indices you can think of. and gives you basically the rule how you should derive objects with all kinds of indices. So now the question is that gamma usually, I mean, gamma could be in general any connection, but the Levi-Civita connection is special and uniquely specified by some conditions, which are yeah, so there are these two conditions which specifies gamma uniquely. Torsion freeness, metric compatibility. And now what we want to do is also to determine omega so that it actually is equivalent to the Levi-Civita connection. And this sometimes is actually called the spin connection. But then, as I told you, since the same word is used for different objects, also, spin connection is just for a general connection with these kind of indices or with the same transformation rule. And what do we want to have, actually? Actually, these frames, these co-frames and co-triads and triads, what they do is actually just translate stuff from one index to the other index. And so if you want to have these tensor indices, what we actually would like is that it doesn't matter whether we take first the derivative and then translate, or whether if you first translate and then take a derivative. So to ensure that, and actually the metric compatibility for gamma, you can see in the same way. It's basically, it does not matter then whether you first pull up or down an index with a metric inside or outside the covariant derivative. And here it's the same. We require this for the spin. So this condition. And this will ensure that it doesn't matter whether we put a triad or co-triad inside or outside the the derivative. And it's sufficient to kind of require this for these, sorry. For say for the co-triads, because since the triads are inverse, it automatically follows from these inverses. So now you basically can use the definition there for the thing, so that is this derivative minus gamma rho nu mu. Minus is gamma, and then we have an index up, so we get om that's the definition for the covariant derivative. This has to be vanishing. And so we get the simple formula if we apply kind of a, yeah, the triad to the right-hand side, that our spin connection is given basically as this Levi-Civita derivative on the triads. Or co-triads. And so this choice will ensure that this equation is satisfied. Yeah.
So the internal indices are they show the direction of the vectors? Like, I was just wondering what the internal indices stand for physically.
So you can take them as abstract indices, but in fact, I mean, if you want to express it in more mathematical language, you would have to introduce frame bundles or fiber bundles. So it means actually at every spacetime point, you introduce an internal space. And J shows the direction of the internal space. But in simple term, it's basically really just this introduction of a frame, So emu1 is just one vector. And so emu2 is another vector from the same point. Yeah, so they are all, yeah, it never writes the axis here. So they are, all these things are space-time dependent. And so emuj gives me just a set of vectors which I require to be orthonormal with respect to the space-time metric. So this is just a little frame at each space-time point. However, the direction, I mean, that's up to your choice.
Know that we need another, like for this dmu, the spin connection for these internal indices? Like, how do we know that we need to treat them separately and not just by using a covariant?
Not you, just using gamma mu. Delta. Yeah, so unfortunately, pedagogically, I will go through this at some later point, but if you think what happens, so what you basically, want to ensure with these rules is that these things transform as tensors under the different kind of transformations which we have. So one set is basically the space-time diffeomorphisms. And at some point, you should have seen that the gamma transforms with an inhomogeneous term. There's a homogeneous term plus an inhomogeneous term. And so if you add to the derivative, yeah, and any this thing. Yeah, so this thing has also an inhomogeneous term, and adding these things cancel exactly each other. And so these are space-time things, but the same will happen if you basically put omega prime. That will have also an inhomogeneous term with respect to rotation. And here you have J. And so you here, I mean, it's basically always this term, kind of de mu rho, something like this. Maybe something like this. And so all these inhomogeneous terms, they are kind of additive. So that's the reason why you kind of just need to add things. And yeah, so indeed, these rules can basically, you could just define via looking at all the transformation rules and kind of first postulate the transformation rules for omega. Okay, so this, you know, you could call the spin connection, or if you want to misuse the word on-shell, you could call it the on-shell spin connection. And actually, as we will see, basically this spin connection, maybe if you really define it in this way, it satisfies also two conditions that will turn out to be anti-symmetric in some indices, which are not obvious yet, and also torsion freeness, which actually correspond to the things in the Levi-Civita connection. But there is a funny twist in these things. And so indeed, let us look at the following thing. You can take this equation and solve for gamma. And so you get the Levi-Civita connection, or you get this gamma. You get a can actually define a gamma connection in terms of the spin connection. So let's assume that this is not this omega, but that this is a general omega with the correct transformation rule. And let's define this gamma tilde. And then the question is, what conditions needs omega to satisfy that this gamma tilde is in fact a gamma, our Levi-Civita connection? So when is gamma tilde equals a Levi-Civita connection? And so the first condition you want to have for omega is, for instance, that if you make a complicated, if you rewrite in a complicated way your Kronecker delta via the triads and your metric, you want this to be zero because it's just the covariant derivative of of this Kronecker delta. And so you can express this as this anti-symmetric combination of the spin connection, where basically I pull down an index, and since it's anti-symmetric, you have to be a bit careful. So that's this index lends to the right of this index. And so we see that in fact, metric compatibility of the space-time connection, which in fact means that it does not act on G, requires this anti-symmetry of the spin connection. So here, this space-time connection does not act on the case. And so omegas come just from this definition here. And so another way to see that is indeed just to look at for you guys to look at the covariant derivative of the Kronecker delta, where you now would have actually to use the spin connection to express this. And it would give you the same result. That if you want this to be vanishing, then this has to be anti-symmetric. So metric compatibility, that's the internal metric. So that means that basically means metric compatibility with respect to the internal metric. And that's the same as anti-symmetry in these indices for omega. And so we had the second condition, torsion freeness. Oops, that was the wrong thing. I think we can put this a bit lower. And the other was torsion freeness. And so, in fact, let's look at again at the covariant derivative of the co-triads, which had to vanish by definition. And so we can write out the definition of what these things are, just applying the usual rules. Of taking the covariant derivatives of these co-triads. It was not very. So this is defined to vanish, and that means that basically. This expression. So in order for this to vanish for a kind of Levi-Civita compatible connection, this has to be equal to this expression, which is gamma rho mu nu minus gamma rho nu mu contracted with the co-triad. So this has to be equal. And this is just the that was just defined to be the torsion for kind of a spacetime connection. So we define this to be the torsion with an index tj mu nu. So it's basically just the usual torsion where we again just translated one index. And now this funny thing that basically here, this anti-symmetry of the indices, which gives you torsion freeness for the Levi-Civita connection, is basically now the slightly more complicated version here. And we can define this torsion tensor. And so torsion freeness means torsion freeness here. But here it's actually a condition, a derivative condition. So this, from the status of equation, is basically the same kind of condition you have for metric compatibility of gamma, where basically then gamma, it is actually a condition in the derivatives. So there's a funny exchange of having conditions which involve the derivatives of the connections and between these difference, between metricity and torsion freeness. Okay. And actually, if you like fancy forms, this is the covariant exterior derivative. If you would use principal fiber bundles or frame bundles, that then anti-symmetric combinations define your exterior derivatives. However, if you have internal indices, you can define exterior covariant exterior derivatives. And these have to be, again, anti-symmetric. So that's why you get these anti-symmetric conditions. And you get basically the torsion as the covariant exterior derivative of your frame field. And that happens to be a two-form, which means itself it's anti-symmetric in the spacetime indices. Okay. So what we need, so this basically defines everything you need to know about spin connections and triads. And we had what we want to do is to express the Einstein action, which involves something, curvature tensor. So what we need to do is to express our curvature tensor in terms of the spin connection and the triads. So how do we do that? So we could take the curvature tensor, express it in gammas, and then express the gammas and omegas. That's what we can do at home. Does anybody remember what the Riemann tensor expresses? Transport a vector on a little thing, a little parallelogram. And so you can use this. And then we can express our vector mu nu with respect to our nice basis, co-triad basis. And so. Actually not a vector, but a covector. So this was originally something with just one in a spacetime index. So we can actually replace these nablas with capital Ds, because on objects with only an index, a spacetime index, that's the same. And with respect to these Ds, we can actually put our co-frame in front of the Ds. And so now it's straightforward. It's kind of, you really just have to write out what are the Ds applied to this vector. And the nice thing about this commutator, that's, you know, the Riemann tensor, this Riemann tensor also is defined as a commutator of this derivative. You don't get a derivative of v rho itself. That's why the Riemann tensor is just a tensor, or a map on for this v rho. And so here there will be the same happening, that all these the minus sign cancels derivatives on v rho, on vj itself. So you are just left with omegas and derivatives of omegas, where the derivatives of omegas come, of course, from applying two covariant derivatives. And the two omegas come from, again, having one omega here and having another omega here. And this, like, just taking the square of A plus B. So we get this equation, and if you remember how gamma looks like in terms of the matrix, how the Riemann tensor looks like in terms of gamma, it's exactly the same structure, except that this is, of course, wrong. That is basically the gamma-gamma term, and these are the derivatives of gamma. And so, in fact, we define this expression. To be f mu nu jk, and so putting everything together, we get r mu nu the Riemann tensor, r is a contraction of this f tensor, which is basically just the curvature with respect to omega. Contracted with one cotriad and one triad. And so again, the Riemann tensor turns out to be just a translation of our curvature tensor here with respect to omega, using these cotriad and triad. And this had to be symmetric in these indices, anti-symmetric in these indices. F, you can also again express using exterior derivatives, and it's a two form. So this is also anti-symmetric in these indices. And that defines our Riemann tensor. Okay, and what we need in the end is the Ricci scalar, which is a contraction of the Ricci tensor. And so you can put all of these E's together, and you will find that this is equal. So taking the omega curvature and contracting it with two triads or tetrads or n-mines, and that actually allows you to write the Einstein action in any dimension. Because it expresses R, and the other thing, okay, that we will see, you will need the determinant of G, which of course you have to express in terms of E. However, G is something like the square root of E, and so that something like this will hold, something like absolute value. If these are the cotriads, so one has to be a bit careful in defining what this is.
It is given above. Why could we substitute numbers by these?
So the numbers act on something which only has a row index.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the d's on a row index are just the same as the number index.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They're just defined if there's an internal index.
Okay.
Then you have to add omega, but if there's no internal index, you don't need to add anything. So it's the same as. So these things are the same expression. Okay. So in fact, basically in 4D, if you look at this first order action, you get something which has these two E's and one F. And let's say the equation of motion are not so obvious as in 3D. However, in 3D, the action will actually simplify And we will have something which will only involve one E and one F. And that makes basically the derivation of the equation of motion completely, I mean, not, yeah, almost trivial. Because if you have an action which is linear and some variable, you can easily guess what is the equation of motion with respect to this variable. We will come to this point. Okay, so that was all general, and now we specialize to 3D first order action. And so the spin connection omega mu jk, and we had said that in 3D we can actually we said at some point it has to be anti-symmetric to be Levi-Civita, to be metric. So what we do now is to introduce an object so that's automatically anti-symmetric. So we basically work with variables which are automatically metric with respect to the internal metric. And so as I told you, I mean, as we discussed, anti-symmetric indices in three dimensions can be replaced by one index using this Levi-Civita tensor in the internal basis. And that also holds now for the curvature. And it's anti-symmetric in JK, as one can see also here in these formulas, in case that omega is anti-symmetric. And so we define these objects, which now just have one index, omega L mu and F L mu nu. And so one can rewrite everything what we had before in terms of these slightly simpler objects. And so on. So F, we will need this for formulas for the curvature. Again, it's given as a this anti-symmetric derivative on the omegas, and then this anti-symmetric combination of two omegas can be summarized to an epsilon applied to two omegas. And the other object we will need is a torsion. And so these are the two formulas which we might need from time to time, the curvature and the torsion. And again, these just come from substituting all the corresponding expressions in the things we had. So what do we need? Okay, and and now you see the reason why we actually need why in 3D this will be summarized to one object. So here we had, we write this formula. So here I use the definition of what is my curvature tensor expressed with two indices in terms of the thing with one index. And so what could this be? F is 3D matrix, and then there's an epsilon. 3D big and anti-symmetric combination of n minus 1 matrices. Okay, so now we have to remember formula you learned in linear algebra for the inverse of a matrix. I can which you can all check by applying applying another matrix A to both sides. And if you don't remember this formula, you might remember that if you take the anti-symmetric combination of all kinds of matrix indices in the matrix, and one index, then you get the determinant of this matrix. And so that's what you would use here, because that would justify you the anti-symmetric. The anti-symmetrization of, say, the left index over A, and that gives you the determinant of A. And the other thing would give you just the Kronecker delta. And so, of course, there's anti-symmetry, so there's somewhere a sign hiding in this thing if you rewrite that. And so you get the inverse triad, or actually, yeah, which is co-triad, an epsilon, which is now the space-time Levi-Civita tensor, which technically is a difference. I mean, it's defined in the same way, but technically it is a density. Then you get this determinant factor. And here's the determinant factor in the frames and F mu nu L. And so, in fact, we are interested in this square root of the determinant of G, which is the determinant of the coframe. And this is the inverse, and these two determinant factors cancel each other. And so here we would just get that for this thing, we get the Levi-Civita thing. the Levi-Civita tensor times cotriet times the curvature tensor. And so, in fact, this is somehow a constant tensor. This is our variable, the Lagrangian. Hilbert Lagrangian is now just linear in this cotriet. And that makes 3D gravity in this formulation kind of so simple at some point. So let's put that up. So we have found units claimed with the right constants and signs and whatever, which we of course will forget soon. So that's a sigma menu. D3x. And by the way, sometimes, at least in the script, I might write always the spacetime Levi-Civita with a tilde. And that just means it's the density, and that's the right result, because these are all kind of definite tensors. But what we can integrate in a diffeomorphism in my way is densities. That's why we have here the square root of g. And here instead, we have the Levi-Civita tensor, which unfortunately is called Levi-Civita tensor, which is a Levi-Civita tensor density. Okay, now it's the difficult task is to figure out the equation of motion. Any guesses? Ah. And so, in fact, I mean, it wasn't very complicated in the Einstein-Hilbert action, but there you needed to argue, okay, we get R menu is equal to zero, and that's equal to the Riemann tensor. Here you see that immediately that F is equal to zero. And the action is of a very simple form, namely some variable like y times something else. So this something else has to be zero. This thing is slightly more complicated. However, you can figure it out at home, because the only thing you have to do, f is a function of omega here. Omega was our other independent variable, because in fact, if you would express omega with respect to e, then this equation wouldn't be so simple, but we would find the same, because we would need to take the variation of f and figure that out in terms of the e. Now we just have this omega. So the only thing you need to take care of that f and expressed in omega has one derivative. So you have to make one integration by parts. And then, in effect, turns out that the condition you get from there is that the torsion vanishes. So torsion vanishes. And before we had said that we ensure anti-symmetry in these indices automatically by using this formula. So omega jk or omega mu l leads, in fact, if this equation is satisfied, to a Levi-Civita connection. And so if you use this equation of motion, put it in, you in fact get the Einstein action. So you get kind of the same matrix, the same action, which is even a stronger notion than having actions which lead to the same equation of motions in this case. And so these will be our equation of motions. And yeah, we regain exactly what we had before. In this case, the connection is automatically Levi-Civita by definition. And then we found that curvature had to vanish. And so the reason, we use 3D because it has a simple form. And it's basically something which is known as BF action in general dimension. And it's BF because it's BF, you can see. And in fact, this is known as it is a topological field theory in any dimension. And so that happens only in 3D, because only in this case we have this form EF. So B in this case is equal to E. However, already in 4D, we would have two E's. And then we wouldn't get the topological field theory, because also we know that in 4D, gravity is not topological. OK. Are there more questions? So next time we will look at the symmetries of the action and look again at the Noether theorem and what happens.